Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It will cost billions of euro and promises to revolutionise healthcare for women and children, but it is 12 years since the plans for the new National Maternity Hospital were first announced. The 244-bed facility at St Vincent's Hospital, Elm Park in Dublin, has been a tricky one to get off the ground amid questions about its clinical, operational and financial independence. But reports now suggest the work on the long-awaited facility could begin by the end of this year. But why are hospitals more expensive to build here than similar medical facilities overseas? I'm joined by Brian Turner, health economist at Cork University Business School at UCC, and Dr. Paul Davis from the Faculty of Business in Dublin City University. And you're both welcome to the programme. Dr. Davis, can I come to you first? The Irish Independent report from last weekend, it suggests the current status is that both the tender process and the advanced enabling works are going to be finished by the middle of this year. But before we get into any potential pitfalls, it does sound promising that there is an ambition now to begin construction by the end of 2025.
It does, and they started enabling works there last year in 2024, clearing the site, putting in additional facilities to make sure that the Vincent's would continue operational during the construction. So there's quite a lot of work that's been done up front on prep. So they seem to have taken a little bit more due diligence with this one. And I noticed there was an advertisement recently to put in an employer's representative for the delivery of the project to about 1.5 billion. So they're actually looking at putting in a very specific contract manager in place in order to manage the delivery of this. Mm-hmm. They seem to have taken a lot more care than they did previously.
Okay, well, and we'll have a word about that as well, because Brian, front and centre of our minds when it comes to the building of this hospital will be the National Children's Hospital overruns. Is it a given that this new one will be just as expensive, or could it potentially cost us even more?
Well, good morning, Claire. I suppose there's a report after being done recently by the Parliamentary Budget Office, which compares construction costs for hospital projects internationally, including the National Children's Hospital and the National Maternity Hospital, among others. Now, what they found is that the National Children's Hospital is among the more expensive. It's not the most expensive comparable children's hospital in the world on a per square metre basis or on a cost per bed basis. But it's towards the top. So I think it's 6th out of 40 when it comes to per bed cost, and 13th out of 40 when it comes to per square metre. So definitely our construction costs are higher, and the anticipated cost for the National Maternity Hospital would put us pretty close to the top of the international league table for maternity hospitals, albeit with a relatively small sample size. In the report.
And how would it compare then, given what we know so far, to the cost of the children's hospital? Can we expect it to be up around that level?
Well, the estimate at the moment is somewhere between half a billion and a billion. Now, where it's going to come out is anybody's guess. But I mean, the half a billion figure, I seem to recall that being bandied around in, I think, about 2017 or thereabouts. Now, between 2017 and now, the tender price index has increased by about 60% or a little over 60%. So what would have cost half a billion in 2017 would cost around 800 million in today, if nothing else were to change. Now, another thing that the Parliamentary Budget Office reported, it's a great report, and I commend the Parliamentary Budget Office for the report. It's a very useful report. But one of the other things that they found is that internationally, the average overrun on a hospital project is about 29%. So if you take, half a billion was mooted back in 2017, that in tender price index terms now would be about 800 million. Add an average 29% cost overrun onto that, you're talking over a billion. So I think we certainly shouldn't be expecting to come out of this for anything less than a billion, I would expect.
Right, okay, and possibly a good bit higher too, because there will be unforeseens there. So Paul, you mentioned there that maybe there's a hint here that lessons have been learned from the Children's Hospital project. What are the really important ones though from that one that we need to bear in mind, the safety rails that we need to put in place to make sure that the overruns don't happen to the same extent?
I think the good project management the was it PricewaterhouseCoopers in 2019 when they looked at the Children's Hospital. One of the biggest criticisms, if we ignore the whole procurement aspect of it, was poor project management. They seem to have taken a step forward with that. And it was actually interesting in the note that they put out for the tender, they said, due to the scale of this programme, there is new demand and increased scrutiny on delivery teams, and therefore there is a need to set up employers' representative services within the overall programme delivery. So I think that's a recognition that they are taking this a little bit more seriously and a little bit more control. I just hope to see that delivered. Building on the previous speaker, though, the estimate inside this one for the employer representative is $1.5 billion. So that is for all the main works, the specialists, and also the ICT commissioning, transitioning, and operational readiness. So they're already estimating, from a HSE perspective, that the upward trend is about $1.5 billion. And I think that's probably more realistic when we look at the length of time that it's going to take. So we're looking at about between 3 and 5 years before this is finished. Mm-hmm.
And can you explain to people, Paul, in basic terms, why it is so expensive to build a medical facility?
It's not just a medical facility. The cost of building in Ireland are extraordinarily high. There are a couple of reasons. One is a basic reason, which is we're an island nation, so we tend to have to import a lot of our materials and reserves. And when I say reserves, we have to import staff. We don't have trained staff. We don't have people to actually go out and build. We have a staff shortage generally right across the sector. And if you talk to the sector itself, they'll tell you they can't get enough people. And that's a big issue for us. So when you're going into these large infrastructural projects and you're relying on resources that are already in a tight marketplace, your cost is going to go up and you're going to get delays while waiting for these people to come on site. I think the second one, and again, compliments to the Parliamentary Budget Office for both of us on this one, it was the highlight around whether it's greenfield or whether it's a brownfield site. We're in a brownfield site. Our costs are higher, I think, because we're building in sites that are constrained in terms of what we're trying to put in place. That's good from a medical point of view, but bad from a building point of view. It means that you have to modify the current infrastructure before you actually start building, and that in itself adds additional costs into the system.
Right, so if you were building on a greenfield site, it would be cheaper?
It would more likely be cheaper, plus you would actually be able to look at the infrastructure in terms of transport and everything that needs to get to it. This site is a very constrained site, just exactly like the St. James's site. And the development works that's ongoing now is to prep it so that St. Vincent's is not stopped from operational duties while they're actually in the build. But you've got to understand that you're now building on a site where you've got an operational facility in one of the busiest junctions in Dublin. God, you know, that junction there in around Elm Park is extremely busy, and we're now building a facility in there that really is not the best for public transport, let alone private transport.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, Paul there talking about the fact that we, you know, have such pressure on the labour force because of our ambition in when it comes to housing targets. I mean, it seems unthinkable, but is there an argument for delaying the construction of this new hospital until we start getting to grips with the ambitions set out in our housing targets? Because what seems to be emerging here is that with the workforce that we have and that we can get access to, we just won't have enough to meet the demand of both.
I think your point is well made, Claire. I mean, it's a bit of a catch-22, because if we delay the hospital projects and focus on housing, then the cost of the hospital projects will increase. If we go ahead with the hospital projects, that will potentially have a knock-on impact on the housing stock, and that could increase the price of those. So neither is a very good choice. But I suppose one slightly complicating factor, though, is that, and again, the PBO report has pointed this out, hospital construction is quite different in some respects from general construction or housing construction, in that there are a lot of specialised facilities and specialised skills that need to go into hospital building projects. So some of the work on a hospital project wouldn't necessarily take from housing construction, because there wouldn't be the need for those skills so it might necessarily be either or, but definitely we do have major constraints on our construction sector. I mean, it's roughly about half the size now that it was in 2007, albeit that you could make the argument that it was bloated in 2007, but we could certainly do with some more construction sector workers now than we actually have, given the pressures from, as you say, the housing crisis, a massive public infrastructure program, not just in health, and commercial property requirements as well, including data centres and that. So, you know, it is really pulling them in all directions.
Paul, can we just talk about the timing of this at the moment? So we're going out to tender on this when inflation is high, construction costs are high. We know about the geopolitical situation. We have the labour shortage. We'd be locking ourselves into a really expensive contract, which might become cheaper in time. And we're building a facility, you know, if we go out to tender now, when will it be ready? 2029, 2030, perhaps. Do you think there's any reason, logical reason, to delay it?
I don't think so. I think, again, this goes back to the Parliamentary Budget Office, and it's terrible that we're both referring back to it, but it's actually an excellent, it's one of the best reports we've seen in a long time. They make the point that the overall cost of building a hospital is between 5 and 10% of the overall cost of running it. So whenever we build it, it's going to be built to the running. The sooner we get it running, the sooner we have the facility open, and the sooner we can operationalize those costs. So capital is going to be high whenever we do it. The real need is, do we need this maternity service? And I think looking at the reports that have come out and the way that we've described the current hospital system, there is a direct need for this for women's health. And I don't think you can put that off. I think you actually have to start. So I think it's the overall cost in the life of the project. And we're building, again, what we've got to take into account when we build a hospital, we're building something that's going to be here for about 100, 120 years.
Mm-hmm. So we've got to get it right. And as you say there, we've got to do it as soon as we can because it is needed. Dr. Paul Davis and Brian Turner, thank you both for joining us.